episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Hype. This week, I am joined by Marima and Karen. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
And this week, just so you know why everyone's so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on a Sunday morning, or Sunday night in Marima's case, we are going to discuss the classics. That's right, you asked for it, we're going to do it. Are you guys ready?
Yay! I'm so excited.
Yes.
I've got my hipster glasses on, I'm ready for it.
She's all ready. She's dressed for the occasion, even though you can't see her.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about what we've been reading this week. So what have you guys been up to? What have you been reading? Or have you just been super busy and it hasn't happened?
Well,
anyone?
I have been reading, I just finished Atlantis Rising by T.A. Barron. It's his new book, and that was pretty good. I liked it. It's the first one, so I'm definitely excited to see, you know, the next one, although it's probably going to be like a year before it comes out. And then I'm going to start a book called, I think I'm pronouncing this right, Basa Haun, and it's by Rosemary Van Duren, and it looks interesting. It's about rabbits. That's about as far as I've gotten to understand what it's actually about. But, you know, I've never read anything by her before, but she is friends with T.A. Barron, and he loves this book, so I hope I love it too.
Is that just how you choose your books? Like, oh, this is somehow related to T.A. Barron?
No, it's not. Although, it actually happened the other way around. She messaged me, she emailed me, and she saw the interview I did with Barron, and she was like, oh, you know, like, he's a friend of mine, and it was a really good interview. Do you want to interview me? I'll send you my book. And, you know, who am I to say no to a free book? So, it kind of happened the other way around this time.
Oh, nice. I have read... Oh, recently. I'm so boring these weeks, guys. Oh, actually, I have read a nonfiction book that is relevant to this week. I have been reading the Salinger autobiography, which that Salinger documentary that's out right now is based on. I don't know if you guys have seen that, which is by David Shields and Shane Salerno. I think that's how you say his name, which is really interesting, but it's like 600 pages. So, or more like 700. So you need to kind of really, really, really be interested in Salinger. And I also read Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell, which was really, 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 really good. And I interviewed her about it. And that was really exciting because mainly the interview was me being like, this book is great. And her being like, that's not a question. So you should read that and also read the book.
Excellent. And I... sadly, have been very boring this week. I've managed to read some chemistry textbooks and the such to, like, teach my students with. So that's really about the extent of what I've been doing this week, unfortunately. But I do have this new book that I picked up at one of the conventions or the book things I was at. And it's called Under the Wide and Starry Sky. And it's a really, really cool novel. And it's about Robert Louis Stevenson and how he met, like, this woman who was the love of his life and their journey and kind of how their sweeping romance was kind of created over time and in Europe and across the globe in some cases, and how he wrote Treasure Island and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So I'm excited to read that one. I've been eyeing it for a while. It doesn't come out until January, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna put it in my pile that's like the to be read pile, like, later, because, you know, I have other things I have to read, you know, in a more timely fashion. And then I'm like, nope, I just want to read it. So I've pulled it out and I'm like, oh, this week I'll read that. So I'm really excited to read it. I just, when I heard about it originally, I thought it was such a cool story, because I love reading about how authors come to write their stories and how, you know, their lives evolve and how that might affect their writing and stuff. So that was, I was kind of really drawn in by that. So I'm kind of excited to read it.
I want to read it. Sounds cool.
Yeah. So it's called Under the Wide and Starry Sky, and it's by Nancy Horan, H-O-R-A-N. So she did another book called Loving Frank. and she won some awards for that and stuff, so it's kind of cool. I'm excited.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Book Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their very helpful service. Today, we are recommending Frankenstein by Mary Shelley in the vein of talking about classics because we're all pretty big fans of this book, and it's really, really good for a classic, so you guys should definitely check it out. Again, visit audiblepodcast.com/bookhype to get an audiobook for absolutely free. We thank Audible for their support of the show.
Okay, everyone, are we ready to talk classics now?
Yes. Hell yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so for you guys, I guess for me, classics tend to be with the things that we have to teach in school or learn in school around here. So what does it mean for something to be a classic novel for you?
I was actually wondering this because I didn't know technically like how far back a classic could be. So I don't necessarily know if I have an answer to this, but I tend to think of classics as books that, yeah, are taught in school that are more like literature based rather than like ones that you would think to pick up just for fun. So I don't know if that's a very good answer.
I feel like that's a pretty standard answer. It's so hard because I feel like classic books, it's a label that people are very hesitant to put on modern books. Like, they have to call them, you know, quote-unquote modern classics to differentiate from, like, Dickens classics or, like, Jane Austen classic, which is such a weird thing. And in some ways, it's, like, a super elitist thing as well. And I feel like that's kind of sad because it sort of discourages people from reading books, but I think classic books are mainly, like, popularized books that have somehow lasted, or you know, someone has said that this is a noteworthy book or something that people should be reading, and then they've put them on one of those like 100 books to read before you die list and suddenly, you know, everyone thinks, oh, this is a classic book and we should all read this book. But it's a weird thing when you think about it. I don't know, I think Karen's definition is probably better.
Well, I think a classic book is something that, like, in its time it may have been judged differently or looked at differently than we look at it today. I think a lot of classics, if you go back and look at them, they're during their time period, they were either rare because a female wrote them or because of the content in them or some other variable that's in play that doesn't necessarily make them fit in the time that they were created, but throughout time they kind of have become this focal point in literature history during that time. So like Jane Austen writing the books that she wrote, being the person that she was, her works have carried throughout time for this like timeless effect to them that people still reference her, people still use her, you know, concepts in writing today. And so I think a lot of that, like Shakespeare, his themes and his plays and things like that, they all resonate with many of the things that are written today. You can it has an effect on future writing and future storytelling. It also has like a timelessness because you can tell the stories from their time period and move them forward and they're still relevant. They still have meaning and bear weight because of the way that they're told or what is included in them. You know, it also has a lot of them, if you think about it, have really cool language. And a lot of the sayings we have today come from Shakespeare or from, you know, other aspects. So I think a lot of it has to do with how they've translated over time as well. And how the people, you know, do we use them to study? Is it, you know, an example of something that we wouldn't have normally seen? And how relevant is the work that we're looking at?
Yeah, I don't know if I agree so much about, like, it's something that still resonates with people. Because I would say arguably a lot of quote-unquote classic books are books that are not that good. Or books that sort of, I mean, we can talk about this later, but books that people just read because they think they should be reading them, but when you actually read it and you sort of analyze it, you wonder why. Why has this book hung around? Because it's not that good, or, you know, it doesn't really raise any particular issues or things that we should be talking about that you can't get in a better way from another book. I guess for me it's sort of like a weird catch-22 because which is a classic book. Oh, so funny. Because, like we call these things classics and people read them because we call them classics, but they're only reading them because we call them a classic and then they wouldn't otherwise, and they only get on that list because people are reading them, if that makes sense. So it's like this weird cycle. I don't know, the school thing to me, maybe because I did lit at school and I did read a lot of these books and I really enjoyed them. So, but I also read them like before school. So that doesn't really, for me, that's not so central to it, I guess. But as a teacher, that's probably more at the forefront of your thinking.
Well, I'll be honest, I have only really read the classics that I have to read. Like, because some of them truly, as a teacher, and even as a normal human being, I find them a little bit boring. Like, I have trouble getting into some of the language of them because it's just not what I prefer to read. So, if I'm going to take the time to read something, I prefer it to be something that I actually enjoy reading than something that is I find not entertaining. So for me, I mean that's also my stance on it. I've read some classics. I wouldn't said I've read every classic under the sun because that would be so dishonest. It's not funny.
Yeah, that's
Like
an.
I in high school I had to take a lot of English class. Like I took an AP English class for American Lit and for British Lit. So when you do that, you cover a large amount of classic literature. So I mean, that's mostly where my classic literature experience comes from.
But I think that's totally fine because why bother reading something that you're not interested in? That's what I was saying before. Like, there are
Right.
lots of classic books that I've started reading and have thought this is really terrible and have stopped reading them. But then, as a general disclaimer, I was saying to you guys before we started recording, my bookshelf is basically like a hipster book club of like secondhand copies of classic books with someone else's name written in them that, I bought for 35 cents or something. And I look so smart because, like, oh my God, all my classic books on my bookshelf. Yeah, it's so embarrassing. I'm gonna stop talking now.
It's really
Oh.
interesting because I know I stayed away from the classics for a really long time because I thought that they were boring. And it wasn't until I really kind of got away from the ones that were, on the lists in high school that I found ones that I really liked. But what you were saying before, Marima, really kind of resonated with me because a lot of these books, they really aren't that good. And there was a different style of writing back then. When you think about Dickens, his books are so heavy with details that you just have to sort of like slog through them because there's just so much in there that doesn't really matter to the story. And I find those really difficult to get through. And it's kind of funny how, we consider them the classics, the best of the best, that these are the things that everybody should have read. And yet, a lot of the times, I know I don't, and I think a lot of other people just don't enjoy them. And it makes you wonder why they're still considered so great, if it's just sort of because, they're old and they've had an impact on things, and nobody really wants to challenge that, or if, the majority of people actually really do love those stories, and, I'm just in the minority, which is quite possible.
Oh, now I feel really sad because I really like Dickens.
Hey,
Which is not
and that's
surprising.
okay. It happens all the time. We're used to it by now.
Oh, Karen.
So, what are some of your favorites? Marma, you said you like Dickens. What else do you like? What are some of your favorite classic books?
Oh, well, you should really just tell me when to stop because most of my favorite books are probably quote unquote classic books. To Kill a Mockingbird is one of my favorite books of all time by Harper Lee. Catcher in the Rye is so cliche, but like, I mean, I'm reading 700 pages about Salinger, so I'm clearly a fan. Dickens, yeah, I really like Dickens. I really like Austen. I am a big fan of like the sort of, I guess you would call it the first generation of, dystopian sort of novels like 1984, Fahrenheit 451. Catch 22, like I talked about before, Brave New World. Yeah, I just, Fitzgerald, I love Fitzgerald. I like Arthur Conan Doyle. Sherlock Holmes are great stories. Kerouac, I like it all. I can't help it. I read, I mean, that's a pretty wide-ranging list, and like I could keep going, but like Karen, well, Jen, like you were saying, I just read things that I think are good books, and there are some fantastic books that were written, you know, that aren't young adult books, which is a lot of what I read at the moment, that were written, you know, 50 or 100 years ago, or even like just 30 or 40 years ago. And it's nice that I guess people are still reading them. That's sort of comforting in a way to know that you can write a book and it doesn't disappear after, you know, going off bookshelves. But yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what you call a classic. Like, would you call Lord of the Rings a classic? Because I love Lord of the Rings. And, you know, it depends on your definition. But that's a few to get you started. Sorry, I stopped talking. Too many
All
books.
right. No, it's all right. You're good. You're good. Karen, how about you?
I just recently started getting into classics, like actively tracking them down and reading them, or actually, I should say, listening to them. I know, like, I have a lot of trouble getting through them sometimes, but I found that listening to them on audio really, really helps. So, if you know any listeners out there are like, oh, classics, I don't know if I can do this, try listening to them as an audiobook. A lot of them are in the public domain, so you can find them for free. And it's a lot easier to get through them that way. But my favorite one is Frankenstein. I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I did, but I really, really loved it. It was a really great book. Love 1984. I enjoyed Animal Farm. Lord of the Flies was one of my favorites too. And I've been getting to sci-fi books a lot lately too. So I really like War of the Worlds, Journey to the Center of the Earth, The Time Machine. And also Of Mice and Men. I remember reading that in high school, and I actually really enjoyed that one too.
Yes,
Right. So very
Frankenstein.
different.
I love
Very different
Frankenstein.
tastes. It's so funny.
Well, I like all the books that
Yeah.
Karen listed. I do not dislike a single one of those books. They're all great.
Okay, wait. So are you saying you agree with Karen? I just
Yeah.
want to be clear.
Well, I'm
Yes.
gonna venture a
Oh
guess here.
boy.
I'm just gonna venture a guess and say I probably read them before Karen, so she agrees with
Oh yeah.
me.
Oh, okay.
That's
However you
true.
need to turn this around for your own benefit is fine. I'm just, saying.
Hey, I mean, Frankenstein is a great book. I'm not gonna argue about that.
This is very true. For me, I don't know. I like all kinds of different things. When I was in high school, I took like an AP English class, and we had to read so many like just classic books. And some of them I loved, and some of them I barely skimmed because they just weren't for me, which is probably bad. I probably didn't, apply myself as much as I should have. Things that I really liked, I like the short stories by O. Henry. I always find those really interesting and fun. I like Edgar Allan Poe and his stories because they're kind of dark and creepy and super fun, and they have really great imagery in them. I like Jane Austen, of course, although my favorite Jane Austen book probably isn't the normal favorite Jane Austen book, so people probably think I'm weird, but I really liked Mansfield Park for I don't even know why, but
Oh, I like
it's
Mansfield
I
Park.
yeah,
It
I
gets a
really,
bad
really
rap.
liked Mansfield Park. It does. I think most people prefer like Pride and Prejudice or Persuasion. Or Sense and Sensibility, even for that matter. But I really liked Mansfield Park. So there's that. My favorite book in high school when we had to read the classics was Wuthering Heights because they're just so awful. Those people in that book are just the epitome of awful, horrible. There is no redemption for them. And I just found it fascinating that someone could write a book like that. And then I loved like the setting of the moors and stuff. I thought it was really kind of cool and creepy. And so I don't know. I really love that book as well. Sherlock Holmes is another really, really great set of books. The Great Gatsby, stuff like that. Those are the kind of things that I tend to like. I tend to like more character-driven books, I think, than just kind of generalized, this is where we're at, setting, social books. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that
I might
totally
need more
makes sense.
coffee. Okay.
No,
Yeah,
it does
I
make
prefer a
sense.
language.
I think
Yeah, no, so that's me. Like,
yeah.
go ahead.
No, I would mainly agree with you, like most of the books that I said, except probably On the Road, by Kerouac, which is really one of those, like, this is just about the time that we live in, and it's like a stream of consciousness sort of thing, and I think you either love it or you don't. But Yeah, I mean, a good book is a good book, so.
Exactly.
So I have
Sorry.
an interjection here, and I have a feeling this might not go over too well, but I have never read a Jane Austen book.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, not because I don't want to or like I'm prejudiced against her or anything, I just haven't. So what one would you say like would be the best one to start with to really kind of get me invested in her as an author?
Honestly, I think Pride and Prejudice is the best. A lot
Yeah.
of people would say Persuasion, though. There are a lot of Persuasion fans. Personally, I was just never got into Persuasion. I don't know why. Like, I've read all of her books. But yeah, I think Pride and Prejudice is a great one. What most people don't realize about Jane Austen is, like, she's actually really funny. And she just writes these hilarious
She
characters.
really
And some
is.
of them are so snarky. And you're like, shit. What, like, when you remember when she actually wrote the books, it's quite modern in a way, the way that the, like, she does dialogue and stuff really well. And yeah, I think Pride and Prejudice is a really good one, and there are some really good audiobooks for Pride and Prejudice. I've actually listened to that one on audiobook, so I could recommend that for sure.
I actually think I have that book on my bookshelf, so it's a good thing you're recommending that one.
Get on it and report back next week.
That's right. That's your homework, Karen. Your homework is to read a Jane Austen book.
Yeah, I'll try to fit it in between all the books I have to review for the site.
Oh, I love it. Let's
I
Jen's in teacher mode, giving everyone homework.
what can I do? Okay, so now that we talked about the books that we liked, are there some books that are classics that maybe you've started to read them and like, why am I having to do this? Because let me tell you, in school, there were several books I was like, what is this? And why am I reading it? I don't understand. So, what were those books for you guys? Or if you have any at all?
I feel like your list is going to be a lot longer, Jen. Sounds like.
Well,
Yeah.
there's some very specific ones on there that I'm like, why? Why do I have to learn this again?
Well, I definitely have some very specific ones, and you won't like this, but Wuthering Heights, I just could never get the big hype about Wuthering Heights. I'm generally just not a fan of the Bronte sisters, I think, because I really don't like Jane Eyre either. Both of those, they're just super depressing, and the writing is good, but it's not enough for me to care about the characters, because all of the characters in those books are really horrible people, and like none of them are nice. They're all just terrible and like horrible human beings, and it's just really depressing. And like, I would much rather read The Bell Jar because it's a better book if I wanted to be depressed. And what else? Oh, Anna Karenina as well by Tolstoy is like the one of the worst books. Because nothing happens. I don't know if you guys, if people have seen the film, this won't be a spoiler, but like, basically, that book is like 1,000 pages long, and it's just, she has an affair and then she jumps in front of a train. Like, that's basically the plot. And that didn't need to be that long. And I don't know, maybe I've read a bad translation, but I'm pretty sure they're all really bad. So, yeah,
Have
those.
you seen the movie?
I would definitely never see that movie. Like,
I was just wondering if the movie was good.
not in a million years. Well, it looked like a good representation of the book in that it looked horrible. So, no, I will not be investing 3 hours of my life into watching that movie.
Okay, Karen, do you have some that you do not like or
I
prefer never to read
definitely.
again?
This might be a first because, yeah, there are some that I definitely very, very much dislike. I hated Moby Dick. I thought that was such a horrible book, and it takes like to the last few chapters before the captain guy, I don't know, Ahab or whatever his name is, before
Yeah.
he even like gets to Moby Dick, and it was just a really ridiculous book. I didn't particularly enjoy Beowulf either. Paradise Lost, I remember reading like an excerpt of that in high school and really liking it, so I got the book and the book was like bad. I had a lot of trouble getting through that too. This might be kind of surprising. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, the first book, because apparently there's like 13 books, which I didn't know about before. But that book was really It felt like a children's book in that it was just the writing wasn't as clever as I thought it was going to be. So that one was a little bit hard to get through too. I didn't particularly enjoy like Alice in Wonderland. A lot of Dickens books I don't like. They're hard to get through. Sherlock Holmes was really hard to get through. I only remember reading like part of it before, but I want to give it another try because they are like a big deal, and especially since I really like watching Sherlock, the BBC show, I'd like to kind of see where they're pulling some of this stuff from. So I'm gonna give those another try. I hope I like them better the second time around. And The Great Gatsby, I
Get
remember
out.
not particularly
Get out.
disliking that.
Get out.
Well,
Get
you need to
out.
go now. It's
Wait.
time.
Out.
Goodbye.
No. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong opinion.
I don't like dislike it. I just don't think I never really like understood it. And I read it in high school and I didn't particularly like care about the classics a lot back then. That's actually another one I would like to give a try, and then I want to watch the movie too to kind of see, what they do with it. But that one was one that never really excited me. Sorry. We had
Oh,
to disagree, Marima. Come on. It's the Roaring Twenties. How can you
I'm
not like
almost crying. I am almost crying.
it?
I'm so sad.
It's just so difficult. Like,
It's like
I have
130
a
pages long. What are you talking
it's
about?
just I don't
All
know.
right,
It's
you
just
read it.
hard.
You read it, and I'll give you like a crash course in Gatsby symbology and stuff. How about that? So that you understand it.
Okay. All right, deal.
And the movie is terrible. Let me just get that out of the way.
Oh, really? I
Oh
thought it
yeah.
was good. I thought people were saying it was good.
Oh no. Well, if you like Baz Luhrmann, I feel like Baz Luhrmann didn't quite understand the point of The Great Gatsby, which was ironic, and it also has Spider-Man in it who can't act, so that was a shame. Old Spider-Man, not Andrew Garfield, a very attractive Spider-Man. Just to clarify.
Oh boy.
What about you, Jen? If there's any left
Well,
after
for
Karen.
me, one
Yeah,
for
sorry,
me, I
that was
guess.
just kind of long.
Karen's like, okay, wait, hold on a minute.
Karen
I have
hates
more.
everything.
which is so unusual. It's so strange.
Oh,
For me, I guess things like so we had to read Silas Marner. Did you guys ever have to read that in school or anything?
no.
Because I can't picture anyone reading it for fun. It's this novel about an old man who's like a curmudgeon and just kind of terrible in general, and his redemption comes through a little baby that's left on his doorstep that he then has to raise. It's very drab, and I didn't like it at all. And then like the Canterbury Tales and what else? Oh, and Beowulf and Grendel. Like if I ever have to read those again, I just no. I'll
Oh,
protest because
I liked the Canterbury Tales, actually. I thought it was interesting.
me too.
Okay. Really?
You
I just
lose.
couldn't get maybe it was at the time I was reading it, but I was like, no, I'm all done. Chaucer's too much for me. And those are the only ones I could think of off the top of my head that I was like made to read and I really, really didn't like. Because I just found them disinteresting or complicated in the language that you couldn't understand them without like a secondary dictionary next to you. So that took all the fun out of reading the actual story. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Speaking
does.
of that, none of us really said anything about Shakespeare. So, what do you guys think about Shakespeare?
Well, I wouldn't really consider Shakespeare, I guess, because it's plays. I mean, if we're talking about plays, like Oscar Wilde and, is great. I love
Yeah.
Shakespeare. I'm a huge Shakespeare fan. I guess I don't associate it with, like, quote unquote, classic literature. It's just Shakespeare. He's, like, in his own category. He's just chilling.
He's his own with his sonnets and his, plays and
Shakespeare's just
everything else
chilling
that
with
came
all
up
of his
with.
sonnets and just hanging out, Yeah,
Yeah, but I do actually, I really like Shakespeare. Like his stories are just entertaining for the most part, or incredibly twisted, depending on which ones we're looking at the time.
Yeah, and they're so clever. The language is so clever. And
Yeah.
when you I went and saw I've seen Shakespeare a couple of times at the Globe when I've been in England, and it's just so great. And have you guys done that at the Globe Theatre?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
I
and
haven't.
you go in like Karen, the obviously, like, the tradition when Shakespeare was doing plays was all the plebs, like all the people that just couldn't afford, you know, the box seats would just stand up and everyone else would kind of sit around the edge, but mainly it's people standing. So when you go and see it, you can buy a standing ticket for, you know, I guess it's like equivalent, it's not very expensive. And it's just so, people get so into it and it's so energetic and it's really cool to see Shakespeare done like that rather than, I guess, just reading it on a page because people are so invested in it still, which is always really cool to see.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll have to go on my bucket list because I really like Shakespeare too. I find it a little hard to get through sometimes just because the language is, so old and it's, the stories can be fairly complicated and stuff, but I think, the messages underneath and a lot of the poetry and stuff of the stories are just really beautiful. So, I would say like 9 times out of 10, I do really like Shakespeare.
Woohoo! United in Shakespeare
Yay for
love.
Shakespeare. We love it, love it. Oh, or have there ever been classics that you've read and you're like, what was that even about? I have no idea. What was the point?
Well, yeah,
Moby
Anna
Dick.
Karenina. Worst book ever.
Anna Karenina.
Yeah. And what'd you say, Moby
Really hooked
Dick?
up. Moby Dick was just, it's like, really? I read this entire thing for
It's
that.
a metaphor. It's a really long metaphor. Yeah, it could be shorter. It could have been shorter.
Really, yeah.
That's a bit, I feel like that's the argument for any classic book that you don't understand. They're just like, no, it's a metaphor. You just don't understand it. And I'm like, really? Or is it just a bad book? Because sometimes it's hard to
Yeah.
tell.
I think, like, a lot of people have trouble saying that classics are bad books, like we were talking about before, because they're the classics. Like, aren't you supposed to like them? But I think that, they can be bad just because, they're supposed to be these great life-changing things when you read them. If you don't like them, I don't necessarily think that like means you don't understand them. It could just mean that you hate the book.
Yeah, I feel like that's completely valid, but you're right. People feel it's like when you ask people, when you ask people, "Oh, what's a movie that you pretend that you've seen and but you haven't actually seen?" And everyone always says like The Godfather or something like that. I feel like when you ask people that about books, it's always something that's like a quote-unquote classic, unless maybe it's like Harry Potter and you're worried that you'll get, kicked out from your friend group. But otherwise, it's always people saying like, "Oh, like I love Catcher in the Rye," and then you say, "Yeah, but what did you like about it?" And they're like, "Oh, it's just such a so engaging, and it was just really," and you can just tell that that person has, never read that book in their life, but they just feel like they need to have read it because everyone's read that book, and I feel like it's the same thing with criticizing them is. People don't want to say, like, people don't want to say, "Oh, The Great Gatsby is not that good a book," because they're wrong. But, but yeah, I mean, you're entitled to an opinion, but your opinion is incorrect. And but most people wouldn't say that because, it's The Great Gatsby and it's Fitzgerald and oh my God, we could never, even though most people that say, "Oh, I love Fitzgerald," haven't read anything except Gatsby that he's written. So it's like a weird thing, and I think it can get kind of, yeah, elitist, which is really sad, with people just basically comparing like, "Oh, how many classics have you read?" "Oh, I've read 74. Oh my God, I've read like 89. Oh my God, you're a better person than me." That's how conversations go in my head.
Yeah, I hope they really don't go that way because that would be kind of silly. Big deal, you've read a classic book. Good for you. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of my mentality. Everyone should read what they like. I don't feel like because I like something and someone else doesn't, that should change my opinion of who they are as a person.
Yeah,
It doesn't.
exactly.
Like we can poke fun at Karen because she doesn't like Gatsby. It's all good,
Oh,
But at the
yes,
same time,
poking fun.
yeah, she can take it. Yes, we're poking fun. But at the same time, like, I'm not gonna ban her just yet. It depends on some of her other opinions and other stuff. But
Well, but when I'm hosting, Karen, you're not on the show. No, I
I've
think
missed
so.
you guys picking on
Oh.
so much.
No, Jen, you're totally right,
You're like, yes, it's back to normal.
but when you think about, I mean, everyone has a, look, this is really horrible, but everyone has a friend that has, you know, a bookshelf that's just full of books that they've never read, you know, but think that they look good. And that bookshelf is never full of like Rainbow Rowell and, you know, Harry Potter. It's full of Salinger and Fitzgerald and Jane Austen and, you know, all these books that are meant to be important books and books that people have read. And, you know, it's just a bit, it's a, all a bit sad, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it is. Because you don't need to pretend, man. You've read them or you haven't.
Yeah,
Like,
you
big
like it or you
deal.
don't. Who cares?
Yeah, see, that's kind of my thing. And I don't, yeah. It's so hard when people like, oh, yeah, that was so good. And oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, did you read the same book as me? Because you're not talking about the same stuff. And often I just let that go because I'm just like, okay, that's sure. If you want to go there. Like, I
Good
don't know what to
job.
do with it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be rude, so.
Okay, so
Whereas.
I have a question for you guys then, because, you know, we do in the show notes like a big list of all the books we mentioned, and I can tell you there's already like 35 in it. So if you were going to recommend one quote unquote classic book to people, what would it be? I feel like I already know what Karen's is going to be, but what would it be?
Frankenstein.
Woo!
I don't know. That's really hard.
On the spot, in the hot
Do you have
seat.
one?
Mine
I
would,
don't. Do you have?
my, oh, that's tough. No, I would probably say mocking that. Oh, I just broke my own heart.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
good one. And that one's like readable. Do you know what I
It's
mean?
just
Like
a
it's.
beautiful book, and the char I mean, Atticus Finch is like one of the greatest characters in all of English literature, I think. So, as in written in English, not from England, 'cause it's American, but you know what I mean.
All right, I'm thinking.
But while Jen's thinking, the other one would be Catcher in the Rye. Everyone read that book. It's really good. Okay.
So let's see, you've got two in there.
What?
I would say the original Dracula, because I thought that was really cool. I read that in high school. Actually, we get to decide between Frankenstein and Dracula in high school, and this is how my class decided. Our teacher was petrified. She was an English teacher, and she had never read Dracula because it always scared her. And she made the mistake of mentioning that one time. So of course, when it came time to vote between Frankenstein and Dracula, we picked Dracula.
What, Frankenstein is way
Because, you
scarier
know,
than
gotta face
Dracula.
fear someday.
I
I
think
know, but she was afraid of Frankenstein, Dracula rather. So that's why we picked it.
that's
But
hilarious.
I did actually like Dracula. I thought it was a really cool book. And just to see how kind of the origin stories of those characters that are now so vastly spread throughout pop culture started, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's always cool. I
So
think that's,
Dracula,
yeah. I think that's why I really
that was
like
actually.
the Sherlock Holmes stories. Because when you go back to them now, it's so different reading them than before all of the various TV shows and movies had come out.
Yeah,
Exactly.
exactly. That's one of the things that I really liked about Frankenstein, is because it's actually pretty different from a lot of the representations that you've seen in movies and stuff, and it's so much better. And I mean, this is coming from somebody who genuinely like has a lot of trouble reading classics, and I really, really like this book. I would read it again. I mean, it was really good, and I think that it's interesting to see how much the story has been muddled and changed over the years because the original is fairly different from a lot of the things that I think we see on TV and stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is there are lots of stories out there about how they came about the stories for Frankenstein. Like Mary Shelley, she was on a retreat with, like, well, I say retreat. I'm sure there are other words we could use for it,
But
with
this is
Lord
a
Byron
PG
and her
show.
sister and a couple other people.
Let's,
And
yeah.
it was yeah, they were in like the Lake District, I think, in England, and it was raining, it was terrible. And so they sat around and they came up with stories. And so for Mary Shelley, her story originated at this retreat with these other people. And that's where her story came from. And then there was a doctor there with them. And the doctor that was there with them is the one who kind of came up with this concept of people drinking blood. So it was kind of known as the first vampire, even though Dracula came after the fact. It was much more detailed in its ideas. But so that's a really that's what it when I say I like to learn about how the stories came about, how the authors generated or got their ideas. Because if you look back, some of the ideas in classic literature are like, what on earth? Where does one come up with that? You know, it's not
Yeah.
like they have TV and stuff to fuel their imaginations back then. Like that's all they had was their imagination. So I guess that kind of answers the question maybe. But I
Alice
love
in
reading about
Wonderland.
that.
Alice in Wonderland is so weird. Like, how did this even come about? Like, yeah,
I love Alice in Wonderland.
Drugs.
Well,
oh, it's so
it wasn't
so weird though.
I mean, yeah, it's like it's not meant to be, you know, a drug thing though, which is weird because it was sort of hijacked by that culture and now that's how people think about it. I just remembered another one that, speaking of, you know, how things came about, Peter Pan. I love Peter Pan. Well, like all of J.M. Barrie's, you know, all of J.M. Barrie's books and plays. And Peter and Wendy, you know, the novel that has all the bits in it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, because I was just thinking about, what's that movie, Finding Neverland, with Johnny Depp, and it shows how he wrote it. I was just thinking about that, which is a really good movie, by the way. And those are really great stories.
And see, that's a story, and I love that story, because it's so endearing as to why he wrote it and how he chose to write it. And so I think I like not necessarily reading about or reading the classics as much as how the classics came about.
That totally makes sense. I think I'm a bit of both. Well, well, speaking of Peter Pan and stuff, I guess most of the books that we've talked about have been more adult classics. Do you guys have any favorite children's classics?
I think everybody likes The Little Prince.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
Isn't that, like, the ultimate children's classic? Or I like any of the Grimm's fairy tales. The really super, like, original Grimm's fairy tales.
Oh, those are not children's books.
No, I know. No, they're not really, are they?
Ha ha ha! Literature jokes.
I have a book of all of those fairy tales, and, like, I can count the number of books that I have not finished on one hand, because I am what Natalie would call a completist, and I can't, like, just put a book down if I don't like it. I have to finish it. And I could not finish reading through all those fairy tales. Like, they were just, I mean, they were kind of interesting to see how it started, but that was just a very difficult book to get through.
Oh, I love the fairy tales. I love the Grimm fairy tales. Weird. We disagree on something. That is so strange for us. What is that about? I think my favorite children's classics are by Roald Dahl, who I read heaps of when I was little, like Matilda and the Witches. Do you guys read them in America? Is that an American thing?
Yes.
Yeah,
we read them.
Yeah, yep. So like all of his books are amazing, and I love them all. But you know, Matilda, I mean, that's just like Hermione, but but not. So that's great. And The Witches is a really good one as well. I definitely reread Roald Dahl now as a 20-something-year-old. So it's just a bit, you know. Got to keep going, returning.
See, I really like Little Women. I thought that was a really good.
Oh, see, I really don't.
I guess you don't like Little Women?
No. That's a book that I feel like is overrated.
I enjoyed it, but yeah. I don't know. I guess, what didn't you like about it?
I think because the only character I liked was Joe, I didn't care about any of the others. So,
yeah, it's hard to invest.
You know, I kind of wanted to know about Joe's story, and I didn't really care about, like, Meg, and even, you know, I feel bad, like, oh, it's sad she dies, but I was at the same time like, I don't really care, because, like, this was a nothing character before. And also that book used to make me so mad, because, like, it's in the, you know, the sequels and stuff, I guess, but Joe ending up with that, like, old professor dude is, like, the worst thing to happen in a plot of a book ever. Like, that makes it zero sense. That is the laziest writing. So I did read all of them, and once I got to that bit, I was like, no, I'm done. I'm done with this. This is not happening. So, just a personal vendetta on that one.
All right. I see it. I see it. I'm good with that. I can understand. I'm trying to think of what else there is that, like, The Wind in the Willows. Did you guys ever read those books?
Oh, I love The Wind in the Willows.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another kind of classic children's book.
Yeah, I feel like...
Oh, The Secret Garden.
Yeah. Oh, The Secret Garden is beautiful. Actually, I feel like... children's classics in some way better off than adult classics, because it's just about, these are really great stories, and, you know, I guess parents wanting to share books that they read when they were little with their kids. And it's not so much about, like, oh, have you read Wind in the Willows? Oh, you haven't? Oh, that's embarrassing. Like, no one says that. It's just like, I love Wind in the Willows. It's so fun. So, you know.
Yeah, I think the children's classic books are also just more user-friendly in a lot of ways. They're not you know, the language isn't difficult usually. It's usually pretty straightforward. So I think that it makes them much more enjoyable because they are more accessible in a sense.
Yeah, and they're just really good books, which everyone can get excited about.
Exactly.
I love a good kids book.
Exactly.
Woohoo! I love it. Well, I feel like we've given everyone enough reading material to last them at least until the end of this year.
Yes. Yes, I think so. You guys always ask for lists of books. Well, guess what?
Guess who's been typing all of this list. Yeah.
Lastly, is there one character in classic literature that you absolutely adore? That you'd want to go have lunch with just to learn more about them?
Atticus Finch.
Karen?
I'm thinking.
Karen, do you want to have lunch with Frankenstein?
I kind of would. That would be kind of interesting.
Interesting is one word.
I don't know if there really is like anybody in particular that I would want to sit down and have lunch with. I don't know. That's hard. I also feel like I haven't read a lot of books that are very character driven. So even though the characters in some of these books are like really fantastic, it's not quite the same thing. And yeah, I was just sitting over here completely silent because a lot of those books you guys just mentioned, I haven't read. So I'm like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I would like to give them a try. And there's probably, you know, one or two people in those books that I would probably like to sit down and have lunch with. But I guess I have to read them first.
Well, lots of those books have characters you definitely...
Moby Dick?
Yeah.
What? I have no idea. You guys just talked at the same time. Oh. I have no idea what you said.
I said you don't want to have lunch with Moby Dick? Captain Ahab? Nothing? No?
No. Ugh.
I was just going to tell you, Karen, like, a lot of those books Jen and I were talking about, you would not want to have dinner with any of those characters. In those books, so I wouldn't worry too much. Jen, do you have one?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to choose. But I think I would want Jay Gatsby, just because he's complex and curious. And
yeah.
One of those characters. Yeah.
I could see that. I would go to a Gatsby party for sure.
Yeah, in a gothic mansion.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
So clearly we'd have to have lunch at his place. That's the only way it would work.
Right. I mean, we wouldn't meet him if we were going to a party. So we would have to do lunch and then...
That's true.
And then, yeah, we've been...
Then it'd be invited to the party from there.
Perfect. Exactly. Yeah, perfect. We've solved the problem. Now, to get into the fictional story.
I know. Maybe Baz Luhrmann will, you know, decide to throw a party and we can... Oh, boy. All right, well, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Book Hype. I hope you guys have enjoyed the classics discussion. And, of course, you can please feel free to leave comments in the comment section all about what your favorites are, what your not-so-favorites are, what your favorite character might be, because there are just so many things out there that make a classic novel, and everybody has a different... As always, you can leave comments on the podcast post, any of the book posts, and, of course, you can tweet us at Book Hype on Twitter. So thank you guys so much for listening. And we always love to hear from you. So make sure you tell us what your classic favorites or not so favorites are. And we'll be back again next week. So I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Marima.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
And we're out.